Hello and welcome back, Visit Julian podcast. And we're just moving right along, getting to know more about people and businesses in Julian. This business has made a change or an evolution, in the last few years. So we're going to talk about the, go ahead, say it.
Calico Cidery.
Calico Cidery. And this is Ian with us to talk about Calico Cidery. Welcome.
Hi.
Thanks for coming. So there was a time driving past Calico Ranch, which is basically in Wainola on the 78. Anybody that comes up through Ramona has driven past you. But I remember seeing the steel building going up and like, oh, what's going to happen there? What's going to happen there?
Yeah.
And what happened there is this awesome tasting room. It's huge. Yeah. So tell us about the tasting room.
Sure. So yeah, we operate a tasting room for our cider production. And when I say cider, I mean hard cider. We don't sell fresh apple juice, although maybe that would be something we might do in the future in season. But our focus is on hard cider, but we just call it cider because the traditional definition of cider is fermented apple juice or wine made from apples. So that's what we serve. We do both cider and perries. Perries are just a cider or wine made from pears. So we do that as well as some co-ferments. And then we also now serve some red wine out of there as well that we make at the Calico in the same production space. But we use grapes from Paso Robles that one of the owners, David, has a relationship with a vineyard up there.
Great. So. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So cider tasting has become a real fun and popular thing. So if I come into your cidery and I'm not sure, which cider is for me, what do you offer those people?
Sure. Yeah. We kind of have this, I would say, somewhat minimalist approach to things. What we do, our style is that we always have four cider or perry options on tap, and we rotate them throughout the year. So it's a little amorphous. We'll like run out of one thing and we'll put another thing on. So the flight menu is always changing throughout the year, but we try to have something that we think that most people will enjoy. So we have things that are like, our style of cider making is dry style cider making. We don't add any juice back in or sweeteners or anything. So, and we ferment pretty much everything out to dry, but we also have like at least one option that I would consider a little off dry. So that has the residual sweetness from the juice itself.
From the fruit itself.
From the fruit itself. And so that's a little bit of a slightly sweeter option for folks. So we try to have something that's, you know, for the people who really like dry cider, and something that's, you know, that, you know, people will kind of like, that's not quite like that as well.
So the short answer to that question was, we offer flights.
Yeah, we offer flights.
So people who don't know, or people who just want to try everything. I'm a try everything kind of girl. I'm a beer girl. So like, I love to get a flight of beer, and I'll be honest with you, half of them I'm like, okay, no. But I'm glad I tried it and didn't buy a pint.
Totally.
You know, so I think a flight is a really awesome option for people who are investigating and learning about cider and what they like the best. You guys do growlers, right?
Yeah, we do growlers of our cider. And we have a 32-ounce growler. And often 64s, we kind of had to pull back on that for a second, but we're going to offer those again.
Yeah, 64 is a lot. Plus, a lot, unless but... this is just speaking from experience with beer, and you can tell me if it's the same with cider, but we'll get if we get a 64 of beer, if we don't drink it that particular day or the next day, like you go to open it and it's in your fridge, it's flat. It's not as tasty. Is that the same with cider?
It's more forgiving with cider because it's technically a wine. So you don't, you know, beer will not only go flat, but the body gets a little gross.
It's flat.
I've found that the cider lasts longer.
Good.
But we still recommend people drink it within a few days.
And that's the best thing to do. But the cool thing is, let's say Bob and Diane, they come up to Julian and they taste your cider and they know that, you know, their friends, Jeff and Barbara, why am I making up these names, down the hill would love this cider, they can pick up a growler and bring it to their friends. Yeah. You know, like, oh, we love this. We know somebody who will love it. And they can get a growler and bring it back down the hill.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's it. Sure. That's a really cool way to take a little bit of it home with you. And let's try saying too, like, now when people know where I live, or when people visit, the first thing out of their mouth is, did you bring me a pie? Right?
Oh, right.
So
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's move it towards, did you bring me a pie and a growler? Right?
For sure.
Yeah, because there's this great little micro business that's happening up here. There's a word I'm looking for, and I'll yell it out in a couple of minutes. But there's this just this great stuff that's happening in Julian, where you still get all this that you've loved about Julian, or people have loved about Julian for, you know, 30 years. But there's new stuff to experience when we come up here. So that's kind of exciting. Mm-hmm. Talk about the layout of the tasting room, because it is big and it's big, but it feels comfy, cozy.
Yeah, I guess you could kind of, it's been described as sort of somewhere between kind of, we have like rustic barn and bar in a barn, but also sort of a modern barn, but we also have we have this beautiful 1880s bar.
Yeah, the thing's gorgeous.
That they found from New York State on the Hudson River, and they brought it out here.
Wow.
And we put it in, and it matches our window in the barn perfectly, so you can look out into the orchard and enjoy your drinks. We also do pints and that sort of thing,
right,
so you don't only have to get a flight. But we have a picnic table spread out through the orchard.
Mm-hmm. I've seen lots of photos of people at the picnic tables throughout the orchard. It's kind of like the podcast I just did before you with the farm and orchard. Is we're just creating these experiences,
right,
and these memories for people that hopefully they're going to remember forever. And then obviously from a business standpoint and an economic standpoint, we're hoping that they tell all their friends, and then all their friends come up.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I really love that idea. And how do you feel about people bringing food?
Totally fine. Yeah. We are exploring food options. We would like to hopefully have something at some point in the near future to do as food. But we also welcome any outside food, kind of casual picnic style is fine with us. You know what I mean? And you can, there's Wynola Pizza just right down, or Heroes
now
Pizza.
It's Heroes, right?
Down the road, which is the closest option. And also Jeremy's. So there's all kinds of food you can bring in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you're coming from Julian and making your way out there, there's, you can't walk in this town without tripping over a place to get a sandwich.
Exactly.
Yeah. So they can bring that out there. Mm-hmm. What about the process? Like, from the moment that you pick the apples, how long does it take from that moment? Like, you mm-hmm. hear that click sound where you pull it off the tree, to you hear the sound that whatever the pull of the tap makes that they're drinking. What's that process? Like, time first.
Sure. It's a little dependent on the time of the year. Mm-hmm. We make everything from our own orchard, or now just starting local orchards here in Julian. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of earlier on in the year, like in September, the temperatures are a little higher. So everything, the fermentations move a little faster, and we get a different result out of those. But we try to let things kind of condition and age. So I say ballpark, it's around probably like 4 to 6 months before we start releasing the cider from the previous harvest. Because we try to run through everything before, and most cider benefits from some aging as well, like wine. It's not as essential as in wine, but it also, I think, gives it a lot more depth and character on some varieties of apples and that sort of thing.
That's just like me. I mean, my age is now. I have all this depth and character. I mean, how can you argue that?
Yeah, yeah, I can't argue. Right?
That's funny. I saw recently a really cool picture of your location. It was a couple on a bench outside next to a fire fireplacer?
Yeah.
Yeah, so talk a little bit about, well, how people might enjoy that particular aspect.
Sure. Got to give a little shout out to Mark, who took that picture. just a great regular of ours. Mm-hmm. We have these little fireplaces that are just spread outside the tasting room. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, love to light them during the colder times of the year, the wetter times of the year. And it just really creates a cozy atmosphere for sure. And just a great place to hang out.
Hang out, have some cider. Yeah. What about dogs?
Dogs are super friendly. We're super friendly towards dogs.
We don't know
they're
all
friendly towards super
friendly dogs. Well, thank you. High five on that one.
Or
like
just mellow, chill dogs as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, my dog is always running around and there. So, yeah, it's a fine place to take dogs.
Yeah.
In fact, we're just really happy that there's a good option for people to take their dogs and kind of, you know, unwind with them.
So. Yeah, for sure.
And their kids. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's a good spot for kids. We got chickens for them to look at. We've got,
What do you have on the tap or other menu that kids can have? Do you have anything? So if I come with my kids, thank goodness I don't have small children anymore, do I need to bring my own bottles of water or whatever? Do you have anything that if a kid's all of a sudden dying of thirst?
We are always well-stocked with Martinelli's apple juice.
There you go.
in our cooler. Yeah, and we have other sodas and that sort of thing as well.
Yeah, good. Because, you know, one of the things I know, because I'm a beer drinker, I like to go to places that have beer, but not everybody in your party likes beer.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to hear that you have the wine, you know, that people can have there. And then, again, the flights. And the cool thing about a flight is, again, especially if you share one, don't everybody get a flight, because then you can move on to the pint. Oh, I really like this one. I'll take a pint of that one, that kind of thing. So,
yeah.
So people can learn and explore. So
yeah.
So do you have any interest, since you're the one who does it, in talking about the little bit more of the process on cider?
Sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, cider is just wine made from apples. So it's a very similar process. We pick the fruit. We do a lot of field blends in our cidery, which basically means when we kind of stow away some of the fruit in our cold storage. Mm-hmm. And then when we're at a point, we grow over 100 varieties of apples on our orchard.
100 varieties.
Yeah. So which is kind of crazy. Conrad, got super excited about lots of varieties of apples back when he replanted a lot of the orchard. And so there's a lot of different varieties. So, pull a lot of different kinds out from the press, and then we do most of our blending up front then and there, and then it basically just ferments out in a big tank. We move that to a stainless steel tank.
Okay, I'm going
to
ask a newbie dumb question.
Go ahead.
Because it's what you're talking about, and I'm an interrupter. Do you peel the apples?
We don't.
Okay.
Nope. We have a hopper grinder, but it isn't even really grinded. It just kind of mashes it up.
I totally can visualize that. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
And then it goes onto this belt, and then it kind of just rotates through this machine, and it presses it just really, like, finely.
Mm-hmm.
And
what about the seeds? So what happens?
The seeds, what's nice about our new grinder is it doesn't actually grind the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And so none of the tannins or anything come from the seeds into the juice, and so all the pulp just comes right out of the press.
Mm-hmm.
And we either just put that in the orchard, or now we're trying these new things out called ciderkins, where we actually take the pulp from a previous press in, we rehydrate it, and then if there's enough sugar still left in that pulp, we can actually get another run on it.
I'm so glad I asked you about that. That's really cool.
And it's Bill Storm, actually from Storm Ranch Cider and Wine, kind of convinced us to try those out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're a fun thing to experiment with and to do some new things with, maybe add, you know, honey or berries to them
berries.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, do some, we got lots of blackberries growing on the orchard, so maybe do some things like that with those lighter bodied. You get our cider is around like 7-8%. Uh-huh. It's a little high.
So now you pick it, you mash it, and then do you have those traditional ginormous, what are those things called where they do the wine? What, the big giant metal things? What do you put the stuff in to ferment?
We put it in IBCs, just big. The primary fermentation is just basically when just it's really vigorous. Mm-hmm. That's happening just in these big plastic IBCs.
Okay.
But as soon as that fermentation's over, we just move that into stainless, and then that's when it where it
that's conditions. What I'm talking about, the stainless thing. Like, have you ever been to McGinney Winery?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know those giant metal things that are inside the tasting room. What are those called?
They're called bright tanks.
Oh,
yeah.
See,
okay. Yeah.
I thought
yeah,
I had
we
it
call
in the back
them
of
bright tanks.
All right. Yeah. Then I have. Yeah. I had no idea. I thought there was some name in the back of my head. As soon as you said it, I'd go, "That's it." But no, never heard of that. But for wine, is that pretty much where that wine sits, or do they have to go to barrels?
Well, so we don't barrel age our ciders. At least, well, we have a few actually in barrels, and something we might do more of in the future. But yeah, we just do everything conditioned and stainless, and then it just hangs out in kegs, so steel kegs, and then those just, you know, and then it further conditions just within the keg. So we're kind of, I always like to kind of explain to people, we're almost like somewhere in between a cidery or a winery and a brewery, and the kind of the way we approach the product, because you might go to a certain cideries and they might treat it more like a winery, in the sense that you might just get like little splashes of things, and maybe like a glass, but it's got this a little bit more of a different atmosphere. But over at our place, we're like pouring pints, and it's coming out of kegs and that sort of thing.
So, and you said you always have four taps. So cool. And I just, because I know you're popular, and you're only open on the weekends, right?
Yeah, Friday through Sunday, 11 to sundown.
All right. So
I might add Thursdays.
That would be nice.
We hope, hope to, when it, I think by sometime in May, we're going to try to add it Thursdays.
Yeah, so and also, if you know, speaking from my experience, if you open definitely in September and October, because there's so many people up here for fall, that Thursday for sure, because there's always someone here that, you know, wants something to do, and I think where your place is definitely an experience.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But I don't know how big it is, because it may be, it's like that could be deceptively large. I'm just super impressed about how you're really using your own apples. But what you do then is you put them in the cooling thing, and then they last for quite some time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Because you still have the same. You have the same harvest season as anyone else up here, which is basically whenever Mother Nature says it's time to pick apples, which can be anywhere from August all the way through October, right? So then you pick all those, and then you store them so that you can have it year-round.
And different varieties of apples are ready to be picked at different times.
Right,
because
for
there's so many different varieties. It's basically like from the moment we're picking, we're pressing. We just start with our pears first, and then...
Now, so, when you're saying pears, I just want to clarify, are you talking about pears, like one, two, or pears as in the fruit?
Pears as the fruit.
Okay, thank
as
you.
As in the fruit, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we grow actually about a fourth, I would say a fourth of our orchard is in pear production.
Wow. I've said this in another podcast. It's a secret. Don't tell anybody, but I much prefer a pear to an apple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I'm just, now it's not a secret. You're the second person.
Yeah, it's out. Secret's out.
Yeah, I love pears.
Well, you know, and also I would make an argument that Julian is as much, if not more, of a place to grow pears than apples.
Absolutely.
You know, you see wild pears growing on the side of the road.
Yeah, and over at like Nickel Beer, there's just pears
there.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a little harder for the apples, I think, to just kind of do their own thing wild. I mean, they can, but, you know, I guess the old timers that I've spoken to, you know, they've also said that, you know, there was a point in Julian where I actually grew more pears than they grew apples.
Yeah, so, crazy. Yeah, so you start with pears. And are they the first to ripen then?
They're the first to ripen, yeah. They're actually starting to bloom right now. So if people can hear this podcast and want to get out in the next few weeks, you're going to see lots of blooms at our orchard.
Oh, okay. So let me ask you about that, because that's a wonderful question. Is that's just the pear trees?
The pear trees are starting to bloom right now, okay. I think.
And then the apple trees start to bloom?
Pretty darn soon.
Okay.
Probably in the next couple weeks.
So I get a lot of calls, people asking about the blooms. Even, not obviously not as much as the apple, but there are very specific requests of where can I go to see apple blossoms.
Yeah.
And now, for people to be able to enjoy that view from your location, is that also only at the business hours? You know, like, somebody can't just click on a Wednesday, go traipsing through and look at the blooms, right?
Yeah, unfortunately not.
Right. I just want to clarify because it's, I'm so happy you told me about it, because so many people ask, and I know that, and people don't understand, that most, if not all, of the orchards are on private property.
Yeah.
So I can't just send you out to a public farm to go see the apple blossoms, you know? And so you need permission, and people crinkle their nose. But you have just now given me an answer to when people come in.
Yeah.
You know, to come in and see that.
Yep, Friday through Sunday.
Yeah.
11 to sundown at this point.
Cool.
Yeah, good time to see blooms.
That's sure. And there's
next month. I mean, if you can make it up.
Next month, by the way, is April 2022. Mm-hmm. For those of you listening to this podcast in the year 2025, it was 3 years ago. So I always ask at the end, is there anything that I forgot to ask you about that you want to make sure that the listeners know?
Not anything off the top of my head.
I just don't want to forget anything, and you know, then have you, oh, I wish we would have talked about that, which will probably happen anyway, but
Sure. I would just say, you know, if you also, if cider is something that you don't really know much about, and want to learn more, it's also just a great place to do that. I'm always happy to talk to people through the process, and then also just find something that they might like. I think a lot of people have kind of associations, negative or positive, but sometimes often negative about cider. But I think it's just it's really just as fine a product as wine. And we're, you know, just happy to be making it here.
And Julie.
So yeah,
Julie. Yeah, very cool. Well, Ian, I really appreciate you coming in, putting up with me interrupting you 1,000 times, and it's not intentional. It's that I get excited, or I'm ADD. Yeah. Or like, wait.
Me too.
So we make quite a pair.
Yeah. There you go.
Thanks so much for coming. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Until next time.